First John chapter 2, I came to the pulpit with a little three-point outline one Wednesday night, several Wednesday nights ago. And we've been in this little chapter, I guess, several Wednesday nights and Sunday nights, maybe even one Sunday morning. And we uncoupled from the chapter to look at that thought this morning about hearing God's still small voice. But tonight, I'd like to get back in this chapter. If you have your Bibles, 1 John chapter 2, stand with me in reverence to the Word of God. I don't know how far we'll get tonight, but we'll just try to mind the Lord. The Bible said in verse number 18, little children, it is the last time. Boy, if that was true in John's day, you know, when the Bible speaks of the last days, listen, we think sometimes that's just thinking about our day, but that's thinking of the church all the way through. Amen. John said, little children, it is the last time. I believe a good way for us to word it is we believe we're living in the last of the last time, or the last of the last days. The Bible said it's the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. This is in the early church now, first century. John said they went out from us. I'm going to tell you something. Brother Don, did you know Brother Howard Robinson from Bristol? Did you hear me, Brother Don? You didn't hear me. Did you know Brother Howard Robinson from Bristol? Brother Howard taught me years ago. I hadn't been pastoring long. He said, Pastor, he said, if you stay in this ministry very long at all, he said, people are going to leave you. And he said, it's going to hurt. And it didn't take me long to find out he was telling me the truth. It hurts. People leave for different reasons. But John is saying here they're leaving for a tremendous doctrinal difference. They don't believe that Jesus is who he said he was. And we're going to get to that tonight. They went out from us, but the Bible said they were not of us. In other words, they didn't have the goods to start with. And the Bible said, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out because God wanted something to be manifested. And that is that they were not all of us. And then John said, you have an unction, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. I want to make a statement before you're seated and we pray. If you're looking for eternal life outside of the Jesus of the Bible or the Son of God, you're looking in the wrong place and you will not find it. The only eternal life that this Bible teaches is found in God's darling Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's important tonight that we understand who he is. There's a lot of people that don't mind to name his name. They don't mind to say the name of Jesus. They don't mind to say Jesus Christ. Some don't even mind to say Lord Jesus Christ. And at the same time, deny who he is. I want to get into that tonight just a little bit. And with God's help, teach us something from this passage. You can be seated. Please pray for me and pray with me. Father, I thank you tonight for this precious old book. Thank you for the servants of God down through the years, Lord, that have stood by the truths of this precious old book. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that you would just teach our hearts tonight. Lord, many may know these truths tonight. They may be evident in their own heart and in their own life. But Lord, I believe sometimes when confronted with a question, many, Lord, don't know how to answer the question. Help us tonight, Lord, to see truth, truth in the Word of God that would change our lives, that would encourage us to stay by the stuff and keep on keeping on till you come. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. What I want to look at tonight, we looked at the first part of the chapter and we said that John was writing concerning the Lord's children. In the passage that we've read in your hearing tonight, John is writing concerning the Lord's Christ. The Bible said in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 24, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. 82 times in Scripture, we find the phrase, Lord Jesus Christ. If you go up through Marion, Virginia, there's a man that I used to work for, and I believe the name of the business is Smith County Machine and Welding. That man is a deacon in a Baptist church, and he has in big letters on the side of his building as you go above Marion, and it says, Jesus is Lord. Now some might say, well, I don't know what the significance of that is or why does it matter. It matters a great deal. I believe it's Mark chapter 8. I meant to make a note of that. I hope and pray that it is. Turn with me to Mark chapter 8 and let me see if I can find something quickly. Mark chapter number 8. I did. I meant to make a note of it and I went into the meeting and I forgot about it. I found it. Mark chapter 8 verse 27. And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, whom do men say that I am? Jesus is asking his own disciples. He said, what's going on out there? What's the conversation like? How many believes, beloved, listen, that Jesus already knew what the conversation was like? But he said, who do men say that I am? And they answered, this is what some are saying. Some are saying you're John the Baptist. Some are saying you're Elijah or Elias. That's a New Testament word for Elijah. We talked about him this morning. And others, one of the prophets. Can I say this? With some, in some circles, that's never changed. They'll tell you, oh yes, we believe Jesus was a good man, a good prophet. But beloved, when you get down to Jesus being the God-man, when you get down to Jesus being just as much God as God the Father and God the Son, you're going to part ways with a whole lot of people in religious sects and realms today. The Word of God said here, they answered, John the Baptist, some said Elias, and others one of the prophets, and he saith unto them, this is a good question. Jesus said, now I'm not so concerned right now about what they're saying out there. Who do you say? Who do you say I am? And beloved, let me say this to you. Your eternity hinges on the answer to that question. There are many people that will admit that Jesus was a good man, that he did good things, and that he was a prophet, a priest, or even a king. But when it comes to the fact that he's just as much God as the Holy Ghost, and just as much God as God the Father, they'll part ways with you. Now watch this. And Peter answered and saith unto him, thou art the Christ. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. Listen to what the Bible said in Philippians. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? John in the first century understood that there was some that were leaving. Brother Don, I thought you brought this out in a wonderful way. The difference between the kingdom of God. Amen. The kingdom of God being made up of genuine, born again believers. And the kingdom of heaven being made up of a mixture. So even in the early church, there were those that did not genuinely believe what Jesus proclaimed about himself as he walked the face of this earth. But what's what the Bible said in Philippians chapter 2, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Watch this now. Of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So it's now or later, but sometime or another, everyone that's been born of a woman will bow. Even the angels that have fallen will bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I want to give you some text tonight just to think about some things that we know. I think it's important. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 3, the Apostle Paul in the church at Corinth said, but I fear. He was afraid of something already. Just much like John was, he was afraid of something. He said, I fear lest by any means the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. What I'm going to teach tonight is not a complicated matter if you believe the Word of God. But beloved, if you come to the Word of God with your mind already made up, and I believe that's the way that most Jehovah's Witnesses do it, they're already biased. They come to the Word of God and their mind's already made up that Jesus is not the Christ, the Son of the living God. That Jesus is a created being and not the Creator, like the Bible declares in John chapter number 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him, that's Jesus, was not anything made that was made. You say, preacher, how do you know that's Jesus? Look in verse number 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God manifest in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. Even in the early church, the Apostle Paul is saying, I'm afraid of something. I fear lest the way that Satan beguiled Eve through his subtlety, he slips in and beguiles us from the simplicity, corrupts us from the simplicity that's in Christ. Watch now in verse number 4. The Bible said, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus. In the early church, Paul was already aware, John was already aware, that there are some that are naming his name, but they really don't believe he is who he said he was. And by the way, beloved, if you study the Bible, you're going to find something out. That's why they crucified him. That's why they hated him. They said, you've blasphemed. You've made yourself equal with God. Jesus didn't make himself equal with God. He was just equal with God. God sent his Son, manifested in that body that would live 33 and a half years and die on an old rugged cross. The Son of God would become the Son of Man, that the sons of men might become the sons of God. You say, preacher, I don't understand the Trinity. Well, it'd be a mighty small Trinity if we understood it all. Amen. Our job is not to understand everything, it's to believe it. When I'm standing here tonight, you're looking at one man.
But he's a triune being. God made us in his image. He made us body, soul, and spirit. But you don't say, well, there's three men up there. But at the same time, I'm a husband. And I'm a father. I'm a brother. I'm a papaw. But I'm still just one man. And God is a triune being manifest on this earth in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But if he cometh, preacheth another Jesus, whom we've not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted. I want you to see tonight, beloved, that everybody that's naming the name of Jesus is not talking about the Jesus of the Bible. Let's go on. Galatians 1:8. He said, but though we, or an angel from heaven, what Paul is saying there to the church at Galatia is it doesn't matter who the messenger is. And beloved, listen, if we would be honest in the generation we live, most people, it does matter who the messenger is. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Beloved, look at the flocks. They're flocking to them. Amen? The health and wealth, name it and claim it. If you love God and he loves you, you're going to have everything. You're not going to be sick. Send us $20. We need another airplane. Am I right or am I wrong? Another gospel, another Jesus. What happened to verses like, and all them that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution? What happened to verses like, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us? What happened? I tell you what happened. They're going through here like tiptoeing through the tulips and picking and choosing, and they're not preaching the whole counsel of God. Therefore, they're not preaching the Jesus of the Bible, nor the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go on. In John chapter 14, Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? Here's what Jesus told Philip. He that has seen me has seen the Father. Now listen to me. You know what some people want to say? Oh no, he was just a spitting image. That's not what it says. I'm not real smart, but that's not what it says. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Watch this now. And how sayest then, show us the Father? The word of God said, for unto us a child is born, a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder. What's this child going to be called? He's going to be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I say hallelujah tonight. Who do men say that I am? You'll never hear this pastor say he's John the Baptist, or he's one of the prophets, or he's Elijah. I tell you, he's the Son of the Living God. He went to Calvary and gave his life for me, for my little grandson that's running around the church house with me, so he can be saved one day after a while. The Son of God. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. When you go to the book of Matthew, does anybody know what the interpretation of Emmanuel is? God with us. Hallelujah. God said, I love you enough that I'm going to come be with you so that you can come be with me. I'm going to come be with you for a little while so you can come be with me for eternity. God manifest in the flesh. John chapter 1, we've already touched on. John chapter 5. But Jesus answered them, and he said, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father. Watch this now. This is what they understood. Making himself equal with God. You tell me why somebody can't read that and understand that Jesus' claim was that he made himself equal with God. Brother Rose, they hated his guts. Jesus taught them, you know, that the man wasn't made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. They had the externals to a T. And Jesus said, you're just like a whited sepulcher. You're full of dead men's bones. There was no life on the inside. Why? Because there was no Christ on the inside. The Bible said, Brother John, you touched on this in Sunday school this morning. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him. I love this. Given him a name which is above every name. I want to say this again. I've said it before. Before I ever knew him, Brother Don, I knew there was something about that name. I believe anybody that'd be honest, saved or lost, they'd say there's something about that name. The songwriter got it right. There's just something about that name. Our Creator wants us to know him. And the only way we can know him is through the name of the one that shed his blood on Calvary's cross, the name of Jesus. In John 20, verse 26, after 8 days again, the disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst. That's pretty special, ain't it? You don't even have to open the door to get in. Amen. Heaven's going to be wonderful. I'm telling you, beloved, you say, preacher, what are you talking about? He's going to change our vile body. He's going to give us a glorious body like unto the Son of God. Amen. It's going to be wonderful. No aches, no pains, no hospitals, no nursing homes, no funerals, no diseases, no tears, no death, no pain, no suffering, no devil. I like this, no flesh. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We'll leave. I like the songwriter when he said, this robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize. I'll shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. What a blessing when we go to be with him that loved us so much that he would come down here and take our place. I look forward to the day when little Sawyer can understand, Daddy, Mommy, Papa, you mean he did that for me? I look forward to that day. There was a day in my life, Brother David, when I realized it should have been me they spit on. It should have been me they drove the nails in the hands. It should have been me wearing the crown of thorns. It should have been me stripped off naked in front of that mob. It should have been me that was blindfolded and beaten. It should have been me that was scourged. The greatest love a man will ever experience is the love of God. Greater love, Jesus said, hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life. They didn't take it. He laid it down. Thank God he had the power to take it up again. Jesus come, the doors being shut, and he stood in the midst, and he said, peace be unto you. These boys were shook up. They were hiding for fear of the Jews. Jesus wanted to give them a shot in the heart. So he stepped in their midst and he said, boys, you don't have to be shook up. Peace be unto you. I believe they began to remember. Oh man, you remember when he stepped out on the bow of that ship and those wind and the waves were raging. Jesus said, peace be still. I say it like this, I don't even believe a tadpole would jump. And I believe that same thing happened in their hearts, Brother Don, when he stepped in their midst. They were all tore all to pieces. And listen to me. Listen, you haven't lived for God until you're tore all to pieces and have the Son of God step up in your life and say, peace be unto you. I like that song the McCameys sang years ago. Sometimes he calms the storm, but sometimes he just calms me. The storm will keep on raging, but we can stand in the peace of God. Then he said to Thomas, you remember Thomas wasn't there the first time he visited with him. And Thomas said, boys, I'm telling you right now, I'm paraphrasing. That's kind of like Adam Schiff, only different. I'm not lying. I'm going to get myself in trouble, but I stay that way. Amen. Thomas told him, said, I'm not going to believe. I'm going to have to thrust my hand. I'm going to have to see him. That's what the Bible's talking about there. I'm going to have to see for myself. I'm not taking your word for it, fellas. And then Jesus comes again. This time the Bible said, he said to Thomas, Thomas, say, preacher, why did he say this? Because he knew exactly what Thomas had said. He said, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, Thomas, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, does anybody know what he said? Tell me. That's exactly what he said, Brother Gary. One and the same. Jesus is standing there, and Thomas said, my Lord and my God. You can study this out, and some people are so ignorant. They're trying to make it out that Thomas said, my God, like somebody would say at a wreck in an intersection, my God. I'm going to tell you something right. You ain't got enough sense to blow your nose if you believe something like that. Amen. Thomas, believing, standing there was Jesus. He said, that's my Lord, that's my God. And Jesus wasn't finished with Thomas. He said, Thomas, blessed. You're blessed, Thomas, because you have seen me and believe. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. That's everybody in the house tonight that's been born again. Who made Jesus real to you? The Holy Ghost and the Word of God made Jesus real in our hearts and in our lives. Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. Maybe Brother Don can share something with me, but that's different. I try not to split hairs or be dogmatic. But there was a portion of Scripture over there where Jesus said, greater works than these shall you do because I go to my Father. Do you remember that? It's over there in the Bible. I promise you it is. And I wrestled with that. How in this world could Jesus say to his disciples, you're going to do a greater work? I'm telling you, Jesus did a great work. The Bible said if all the things were recorded, which he did, the whole world couldn't contain the books. I believe it was this. Now listen to me. I'm not going to split hairs with anybody. But I believe Jesus knew he was going. They could no longer see him. That everything that was accomplished from here on out was going to be by faith. God is honored when people believe the Word of God. And John understood some are already leaving our ranks. And they're going out from us. And he's telling the church, I tell you why they're going out. Because they were never part of us. They never really believed that Jesus is who he said he was. Let me bring this to a close tonight. There's all kinds of things we could say. If Jesus is equal with God, I want to give you a verse and ask you why on this verse. I want you to think about this. In John 14:28, here's one of the major, I guess you would call it, seen as a contradiction or perceived, that's a good word, as a contradiction. Here's one of the major verses that'll come up when somebody doesn't believe that Jesus who he is who he said he was. John 14:28. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come unto you, come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I go to my Father, for my Father is greater than I. And people say, now wait a minute, now there's no way. Now, I want you to look now, look at all this, and I haven't shared it all. I've not even touched it, have I, Brother Don, on the deity of Christ. I've just scratched the surface tonight. But what they're saying is, take all of that other stuff and junk it and go with this right here. You say, well, preacher, are you going to go with that? Yes, sir. Every word of God is pure. Every word of God is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished. We're not going to cut one word, let alone one verse, out of this Bible. You say, well, preacher, how do you make sense of it? I think it's very important when you study the Word of God, especially when you're looking at deity, that you're able to discern between the Son of Man and the Son of God. Jesus was 100% man and 100% God, all at the same time. Now listen to me. You have scriptures where Jesus said, I thirst. You have scripture where Jesus was weary on his journey. Do you remember that? You have scripture where that Jesus has partaken of a meal, breaking bread. He's human. You say, preacher, if he's human, then he's not God. You're missing it. He's human as he is, and he is God. He's God incarnate. God who's taken on a body, a human body. The Bible said, tempted. Now listen, there's scriptures you can never marry them up. God cannot be tempted with evil. But the Word of God said of Jesus, he was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. If you don't separate the Son of Man from the Son of God, you'll run into problem after problem after problem. Jesus, listen, carried our sin. The one that was tempted in all points, yet without sin, carried our sin in his own body to that tree to die in our stead. Jesus is both the Son of Man and the Son of God. As the Son of Man, he's in his humanity. His Father is greater than he. But as the Son of God, he's equal with God. He's not John the Baptist. He's not some prophet. He's not Elias. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. We're pretty sheltered in this area. You don't run into a lot of contradictions to that in this area. But I promise you this, if you do much witnessing, or you have the witnesses knock on your door, how many knows what I just said? Not going to line up with what John just taught us in the book of 1 John, in the book of John, what Paul taught us. Paul said, I fear, because he said, I know that same trickster, that same devil that tripped up Eve in the garden wants to pull us away from the simplicity that's in Christ. Let me say a couple things tonight quickly. Everybody in heaven's going to have one thing in common. They all trusted the Jesus of this Bible. Amen. Everybody in hell is going to have one thing in common. They all rejected the Jesus of this Bible. Amen. I guess what God's trying to teach us tonight is that just because you say his name, just because you know his name, let me just say it like this tonight. Now, listen to me carefully. I know who the President of the United States is, but I don't know the President. I believe we're in a church world full of people that knows the language,
They know his name. But the question is not, do you know the language or do you know his name? The question is, do you know him? One old timer, Brother Don, said it like this, said a better question than that is, does he know you? It goes both ways. I believe when he knows you, you know him. Amen. What we've looked at tonight in the book of John, the book of 1 John, we looked at John as he's writing concerning the Lord's children earlier. And John is writing concerning the Lord's Christ. We need to understand tonight when somebody asks us, who is Jesus? We need to understand what the word Lord, by the way, isn't it wonderful? Two guys are getting crucified. They're thieves. Jesus is in the middle. You can read in different accounts of the Gospels, there was a time when both of them were railing on him and saying the same thing. If you're the Christ, come down. Now what's this word Christ and the word Lord? If you're the Christ, come down and get us down. Get us out of this circumstance. Get us out of this situation. Jesus in the book of John cries, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I like to let my mind wander as long as it stays inside the bounds of the Word of God. I wonder if that thief didn't look at that crowd. He heard what they were saying. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. Crucify him! Crucify him! He saw him down there gambling for his garments. People mocked. They walked by and they mocked. Some walked by just wagging their head back and forth. These two guys are seeing all this. But you know, boy, this goes with this morning's message. I think one of them heard the voice of God. When Jesus said, Brother Gary, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I just wonder if down inside of him something didn't well up. He didn't think, yeah, I'm a thief, but look what they've done to him. Look what they're doing to him. Yeah, I'm a thief, but look what they've done to him. What did he look over and say? He started with, if thou be the Christ. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. Then he said this, Lord, hallelujah. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus didn't say your prayer wasn't long enough. Jesus didn't say you didn't say the right words. Jesus didn't say you're not sorry enough for your sin. Jesus said today, your residence is fixing to change. You're going to be with me in paradise. Why? Because he believed in a moment of time that Jesus was exactly who Jesus said he was. Exactly the one, Brother Preston, that they crucified him for claiming that he was equal with God. I just want to say to us tonight in closing, let's be careful. The devil will try his best to pull us away from the simplicity that's in Christ. Heaven, basically, just very basically, is determined by what you do with Jesus. Receive him, heaven. Reject him, hell. Our reward is not determined by what we do with Jesus. Our reward is determined after that we trust Jesus by what we do for Jesus. We're not serving him so we can go to heaven. We're serving him because we are going to heaven. We're serving him because we love him. We love him because he first loved us. How many's glad you come this way tonight? If you're not saved tonight, trust the Jesus of the Bible. He'll save you. He said, he that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. If you are saved tonight, maybe you know somebody that's struggling with this truth. Perhaps God would help us to take a Bible, be a help to them. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to be in your house. Lord, I don't know what you're doing tonight, but God, you do. Lord, I think about how that we missed Wednesday night. And Lord, it was in my plan to bring these scriptures Wednesday night. And yet, Lord, it was in your plan to bring them tonight. Thank you, Lord, you have a plan. You knew before the foundation of the world who would be here tonight. Lord, I pray that someone would hear that still small voice. Someone like that thief would cry out, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Lord, please don't let folks die without God and go to hell from the pews of Bible Way Baptist Church. Help us, Lord, to be sincere, to be settled, never to get away from the simplicity that's in Christ, our Lord. Heads are bowed tonight, eyes are closed.